is time for the buttons.
Button.
Specifically one button, which I pressed when I said it was time for the buttons. Hello, and welcome to Cause and Effect. We're getting closer and closer to the end of the campaign. Oh, the excitement. Oh, the terror. Oh, the glee. I am Crash. I will be your GM for the evening tonight. I am joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, Io, and Jen. I almost said who wants to plug a thing, but instead, what happened last time?
There was a wish, but I think that was the time before.
I was granted my fondest wish.
And the GM graciously did not go with the initial, I wish to make my wish.
Yes.
Because Tex would not have made that mistake, was the statement that was given, and the GM agreed.
I feel like I wish to make my wish is recursive enough that you should make the wish.
Well, yes. Gazra Azam heard the actual wish that Tex wanted to make. This was done during combat with Zed and X. And what was the wish for?
If I can find it in the backstroll, I'll repeat it verbatim. But basically, our
Nemesis
/ Big Bad / Lich from Another Age is no longer allowed to compel anyone to do anything. If she's, I think I specified anyone. She's not allowed to compel
or coerce
anything that she's created.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes. And
it was, I was specific enough about it that I want to be specific about it.
It was specific enough that we then took a break, and during that break, I had to think very hard about what this was going to do to the campaign.
Awesome and stuff.
While Ellie is looking for that, what else happened?
We know where Sclavora's interdimensional place is because Hobby slipped her flagstone into a rent in X's.
In this case, I believe it was X's.
But, in X's.
But, yeah, you reverse pickpocketed your flagstone, and member services can track flagstones.
Mm-hmm. And that's why Hobby did it. I felt very clever about all that.
After 3 years, you ran your way to the end.
Yeah, well, these things, they happen.
You decided you were done with the side quest. Like, oh, I guess I could do the main quest now.
No. The problem you see is that they were
trying to do the main quest.
Yeah, they came after A.
Yes.
They came after A.
But to be fair, they didn't show up in Zircon's. I think I named him Zircon. They didn't show up in that fortress specifically for A. They showed up and like, oh, A's here too. Well, we were here for this giant power crystal, but we'll take A also. And then there was an epic battle.
Yeah, well,
battle.
They keep doing. They just suck.
Somebody might have used telekinesis to empower a warforged to leap 30 feet through the air to land on a table and then hit a giant robot with a hammer. This may have happened.
Yeah, I am very pleased with my spell choice.
I am very pleased with it too. In a galaxy far, far away, there is also a certain Sith accountant who is absolutely thrilled, or would be, if he had any idea that this took place.
Then would Alas. Like it known that Ran is not allowed to throw them in combat.
No. That would be a waste. I take one enemy and throw them at the other enemy. It's more efficient.
Back in this game, Tex approves.
Also true. That was also a thing that happened.
I did find the wish, by the way.
Wonderful.
I wish that the being known as Clorora Springweather, whom I am thinking of now, should be no longer able to control any animate object she creates or created in the past, present, or future, or any other being, by compulsion, coercion, suggestion, or other means, other than a request which the object or being willingly and knowingly agrees to. Tex had a long time to think about that wish.
And it made Sclora
an even
very,
longer
very
time. And an even longer time to think about what would be the best way to prevent Sclora from doing the thing that Tex objected to.
which was taking away the autonomy of the jurors.
Yes.
Well, in this case, proto-jurors.
And the nanites.
Also true.
Right.
Because as someone pointed out, I don't remember who, Tech made a promise to some nanites a long time ago.
Yes.
To free them from Sklorora's control.
They're still technically in one of the sub-basements of the Ogmanite Enclave. Well, that was all very fun. That's what happened last time. Usually, at the end of an arc, we have an intermission episode yes. where people rest, recuperate, banter, purchase items, rest, do open mic night, rest. Which is to say, if you haven't pressed the long run button. Everyone press the marathon button. You now have one level of exhaustion. No. The funny thing was, then I saw Foundry say that two people had pressed buttons. No, everyone take the long rest if you haven't already taken it. Also, I think I did have you go up a level as well.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I finished leveling.
I also didn't fix my
Here's the marathon
points.
Button.
Athletics check.
And actually, Mech has not gone up a level, so...
Yeah.
Jen, I am going to do that for your character right now.
Okay.
Congratulations, Mech is now level 15.
Nice. Oh, I haven't gone up a level, have I? Oh, that's right. I had thoughts about which one. Eo, I needed to ask you which one I was going to do.
Let's take a pause to finish leveling.
All right. I'm going to hit a button. We're back. And even the characters that needed to be leveled, well, who didn't need to be leveled, needed things fixed before combat. So that's good because spoilers, not spoilers for the players because I told them last session it was going to be combat today, but never mind about that. So normally this is the intermission episode. You are currently technically in your quarters. You've just finished your long rest. There's a long list of things that you wanted to do. Some of you might have wanted to do some shopping. I know from what Ellie has told me that, Tex had some checking in on various individuals in groups that Tex wanted to get done before moving plot forward. So you've got a long day ahead of you, made longer by the entire room shaking violently, like the recharge stations are bolted to the wall for the various warforged that share your quarters, and they've actually been torn loose from the wall and toppled over. The double-decker couch is laying on its side, and the frame is bent.
I bolted that to the wall.
It was.
All right.
I am running out the door.
You Kevel ran out the door.
Is grabbing their shoes and following. Gamper.
You're doing the thing where you tuck the laces down the shoe instead of tying them because it's faster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That always weirds me out. I hate that sensation, but I've had to do it on camping trips so many times. Right. Oh, wow. So, mm-hmm. I'm assuming that you all run out because otherwise it's going to be a very short session. Like, oh, the whole building's shaking. I stay here. I'm sure the founders are going to wrap things up for us. Shelter in place, everyone. Shelter in place. Okay. Now, you were, your quarters were on the second floor. So as you run out into the hallway, there's a stairwell that you can see, and there are cracks in the walls, in the ceiling, in the floor. It's not that the foundation shifted. It's that everything shifted from the impact. There's residual shuddering happening in the building as various bits and things fall. It could be things falling inside the various quarters. It could be structural elements that are falling. Well, that part of the ceiling just caved in. So, yeah, that structural elements are also falling. Also, you definitely hear what sounds to be screams. Not all of them are in pain or fear. There's a non-zero number of barbarians that are registered with Flag. So you are hearing a variety of screams.
Did Sklovara throw a Tarrasque at us?
Hey. Would you check the other team's rooms, please, to make sure no one is injured?
On it!
Contact me if you need assistance lifting furniture.
Okay. Will do.
This is what I get for not taking the athletics feat when I leveled up. Wait a minute.
You have perfectly good feet.
Wait a minute. I'm not the same level as everyone else. I didn't get a feat when I leveled.
Sorry.
I can see right through this fourth wall. I don't need a knock on the door. This one's empty. And this one's empty. And this one's full of people who are huddling. Are you okay?
I'm assuming that you don't wait for A to check all these rooms. You're heading downstairs instead.
No. Yes. This is on the way down the stairs.
Okay.
Right down the stairs. Okay.
That's so, fine. Mm-hmm. I am
down there as stealthily as possible.
Careful is attempting to tie their shoes while flying.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, speed and stealth don't go together.
Yeah.
Okay. So I am going to activate the map.
The map.
I cannot activate the map that you are currently on because it's already activated. I need to activate the new map.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay.
That's a lot of flaming blue things.
Yes. So let me describe the scene to you. First, a mechanics thing. Because of issues we've had with loading this map before, I changed the scale to make it physically smaller. So, and that measurement is added in. So moving one square over is actually moving 10 feet instead of 5. Measurements will be accurate if you're measuring things.
There are no squares.
Well, yes, but if you're dragging your character, you can see how it'll give you that number because Foundry 13 does that. The number that it gives you is accurate for how far you're moving. I've built that.
Okay.
Because I did not want to do that math. I was concerned.
I thought there was supposed to be a grid, but there was not.
I turned off the grid.
Okay.
Because it was getting tiresome. There are many times where fighting with Foundry will be 100% worth it. I decided to eschew a few of them where it's not worth it. So we can fight with Foundry when it counts. Does that include the number of times that you overrode people's max HP to make sure they had the number they're supposed to have after a leveling crash? I have no idea what you're inferring, person who I just made up just now. Well, with that said, there are four gigantic spikes. They look like giant blue icicles that have come through the ceiling of the Flag headquarters common area. Two of them looking like they've also hit side rooms down here and impaled themselves into the floor. They are very, very blue. There's energy and smoke coming off of them. The smoke wisps are sort of dissipating and evaporating as fast as they're forming. And it occurs to you that, well, yes, this looks like collections of nanites. You've dealt with those before. And, oh, wait, Flag Headquarters had a lot of anti-nanite defenses put in place. You've been told this. It does seem to be working, but there seems to be an upper limit for volume. So, yes, these things are evaporating. If you closed the doors and went away and came back after maybe a week or two, they'd be smaller. But, yes, Ellie, it's the Dark Iron Invasion. It's just beer fest. Except those aren't dwarves. Those aren't dwarves. There are large globules of material falling off of these icicles also. The visual implications, it looks like they're melting rapidly, and these things are coming off the ground, coming off of the icicles and splashing on the ground, but then they are rising up. And what you see, they're not undead per se. They're entities that look rather skeletal in nature. If you described a skeleton to somebody who had never seen one and asked them to draw it in crayon, that's kind of what they would draw. These entities, the first impulse would be to say they are wreathed in flame as well. The flame is blue, but your understanding is these are probably also the anti-nanite defenses attacking these things. So they are starting to evaporate as quickly as they form. The problem is there's a lot of them that are forming. Now, this was at a time of day where it was not a set mealtime. So these didn't hit during the lunch rush or the breakfast rush, for example. but there are adventurers in this common area. You catch a glimpse of Mork and Mindy grabbing their kids and heading through a door.
Good.
Yeah. And hopefully I think I may have told you, like, the Quest Hub Bar and Grill, which is centrally located in the middle of Flag Headquarters Courtyard, has doors that lead behind the bar and go into a storage area that does have multiple levels. There's a wine cellar in there, et cetera, et cetera. That's where they're taking them. So hopefully they're going to be okay. But in this common area, there are adventurers who are doing a wide variety of things. And with that said, I am going to select a lot of characters, if I can do this properly.
This is going to be such
fun.
What fun. Long list of things in the combat tracker.
I am actually going to try out some rules that I've sort of built for this encounter with the sheer number of these things. I am going to attempt a thing that's going to, in theory, make it easier for this specific battle. But I'm still going to need to make sure that all of you get your individual turns. So go ahead and roll for initiative.
I roll normal.
And that's not right.
Sure.
I didn't do that right.
You did a private roll.
Oh, I didn't know I did that.
There's little things up.
There we go. All right, that's better.
You're set to private.
How?
Okay, do you see the orange box that's under there that you type messages into potentially? It should be at the lower right corner of the screen.
Am I just pulling or am I? I don't know what I'm doing. No,
no, no. Just look at the orange box.
Okay.
Okay. Above it, there's a little world. There's a person in a trench coat and a hat. There's a eye slash, and there's just a meeple.
Okay.
Click the one that looks like the world, the globe.
Clicked that.
Okay, that should make your rolls public now.
Okay.
So anything you roll won't be private anymore.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
I guess then.
Yep, that worked.
Okay.
Okay. So, going to look at this. So you've got a 20 basically because you have a +3 to your dex and you rolled a 17.
Okay.
So I will edit it.
Right.
All right. So we're going to start this off with Hobby. Hobby, as you rush out the stairs stealthily, you stealthily rush.
They scamper low to the ground.
Yes. You see one of these things dropping down from one of the upper arms of the cat tree, and it is right in front of you. Well, the tabaxi tree, rather. Not the cat tree. This is specifically scaled for tabaxis.
She created a bunch of nanite things. She packaged them up. She threw them here. They're being attacked by the anti-nanite swarms, and also they're probably too young to realize that maybe they shouldn't eat everything, and now they're mad because the anti-nanite defenses are hitting them. I bet. There's one right there.
There is one right in front of you.
Well, Criff, I'm going to hold my action until Tex can talk to these things.
All right. As your turn ends, three of them rush over to you, including the one that was directly in front of you, by the way.
Great.
And does a 28 hit you?
A 28 will undoubtedly hit me, unless I can find something cool to do. Regarding things that,
You do have a ring that you can activate, yes.
No, I want to activate this one.
Second chance. When a creature you can see hits you with an attack roll, you can use your reaction to force that creature to reroll. Now, keep in mind, that roll had a +15. But I'll
am reroll. I likely to be facing anything that has less appalling plus?
So here's what I'm doing with this. This is a swarm of things.
Yep.
I am doing swarm tactics with a little bit of homebrew in here. I'm only rolling one attack against you, but imagine if a whole bunch of things were running at you trying to hit you at the same time. That would increase the odds that one of them hits you.
Well, I
I'm only rolling for one attack and one thing of damage per person.
Oh, all right. 25 will still hit me. I will take this hit and see how bad it is.
Okay. All right. That is 27 points of damage.
Okay. I will yelp with an appropriate amount of yelpitude according to the damage done.
It burns.
That's rude.
They're not swinging at you with weapons. They're swinging at you with their hand equivalents. They're scratching at you.
Rude.
Yes. And this is, mechanics-wise, it was one roll to hit and one roll of damage. But the flavor-wise of this is, there's three of these things that are all on top of you scratching at you. And these hits burn a lot worse than if you had just been stabbed.
Probably. Whoops.
Yes.
Hate that. Always.
Okay. And I probably should have hit the begin combat button. There we go. Tex, it is currently your turn.
Okay. Do you understand that you don't have to do this?
Give me an insight check.
Oh, good. One of the things I'm good at.
19's pretty good.
19's pretty good. You don't think they hear you. Now, let me rephrase. You are fairly certain that if they are receptive to audio signals in any way, shape, or form, you spoke at a volume that they have received the vibrations of air that you have created. You are not entirely sure that there is something there to comprehend the sound. They are moving in a way where, even though each of these individual things has a very roughly humanoid form, it looks more like a feral mass as opposed to, it's a zombie horde, so to speak.
Okay. Hobby duck.
Hobby ducks.
Trying to figure out what wrote. I am just going to swing at him.
Okay. Roll to hit. All right. You rolled a 17 and a 15. They are, a 16. Did you mean to roll three times?
Yes.
Okay.
I get to attack three times every time I take the attack up. That's what I got at level 11.
Nice. Okay. Well, 17, 15, and 16. Those are all hits. These, you are even more sure about that insight result now, because they are not making moves to dodge or duck or evade or whatever. You swing that hammer and you are hitting multiples with this. Roll your damage.
I will roll that beautiful bean damage. Not 2d88.
That would be a lot of beautiful bean damage.
Oh no, wait, I'm not attacking the same thing.
It doesn't matter, roll it collectively. This is a swarm.
Okay.
Remember, I did some homebrewing stuff to try to make this be easier for us.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure if you were... I knew you were doing the attacks that way. I didn't know if you were doing the damage that way.
Yes. And I did not make that clear. Okay. That's 27 points of damage.
Yes.
Is that for all of them? Or is that the first hit?
That is the damage from all three attacks.
All right. Wonderful. When Hobby ducks, you swing Chainbreaker and you take out all the ones I just deleted off the map. You just swing. There's a slow-mo scene where Chainbreaker hammer end hits head after head after... Okay, well, that one was the torso, really. But you hit the head for that one, though. And they just explode into clouds of nanite dust. Don't breathe that. And they're just not there anymore, because that they've now been broken down into small enough elements that the anti-nanite defenses in this setting are now doing a better job of evaporating them.
Bobby, there's You've nothing actually... there to reason with. Take them out.
Thank you.
All right. At the end of your turn, a whole bunch more come running over.
I have found you some targets.
It is a target-rich environment. Yes.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be another attack roll. As you get swarmed, does a 20 hit you?
It does not.
They attempt to claw and scratch at you through a combination of dodging and just the armor that you have, because you are very well armored. You are able to resist their steely knife fingers. They cannot kill the Tex.
Darn.
Since I held my action.
Oh, yes.
Can I have my action?
You may have
your
action.
Since there's a whole bunch of them here. Okay. I need to check one thing, which is behind the opaque cat who's decided to come back and sit on me again.
She did specifically hold until I had talked to them.
Yep.
This is true.
I am.
I remembered that once you said something, but I had forgotten it earlier.
Of course. I mean, I figured. I'd forgotten. I'd almost forgotten it myself. Okay. I need to find out. It's a feature. That's a reaction. Okay. I am going to use it's a bonus action. Okay. I'm going to cast that.
Shadow Blade.
And I will attack the one that is basically immediately in front of me there.
Okay.
All right. Normal attack.
21 will hit. Yes.
Okay.
They are making just as much of an effort to dodge as they were for Tex, which is to say they aren't.
Can that be a vehicle for a sneak attack?
Yes.
Because that's basically everything that I've got that's a weapon is just going to be a vehicle for the sneak attack.
Well, roll your sneak attack damage.
I'm finding my sneak attack damage. Everything's been moved around. It's a nuisance. I knew where everything was on the other character sheet.
That's a lot of dice. 6 D6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so collectively you are doing 29 points of damage.
Yeah.
You are doing the same kind of thing that Tex was doing, where you realize that they're so close together, you can hit multiples of them at once. You slice through one, you keep moving the blade so it goes through another, you pull out a can of beans and roll that beautiful bean footage towards a third and delete that one also from the map.
Oh, useful.
Yes. Okay, so hobbies, held action, are resolved.
Yep.
Tex already went. Now we are up to Mech.
Okay, so Mech is going to go into the mob, because that's what she would do.
Don't forget to rage.
Oh, right, yeah. I think the last time I played this, it was like, okay, I am engaging my rage protocol.
Yes.
And off I go. So I'm going to like scoot over into the middle here somewhere, if that's allowed.
And yes, Ellie, into the mob, out of the mob, and home before dark. Please don't sue us, Andrew Lloyd Webber, or whoever did that.
Parody.
Yes. Okay, so she's going to use her great axe to...
Parody is just something you invoke while you're being sued. It doesn't stop you from being sued.
No. Okay.
Yes. But in any case, you rage, you run towards... the ones that haven't rushed forward yet, you weren't going to wait for the, for Muhammad to go to the mountain. You decided to be the mountain.
Yes.
And run towards the pile of nanites.
Great
axe have intimidation. Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Okay.
Did you find it?
So, yes.
Okay.
I think I did.
If you click on it, it should give you the pop-up that allows you to roll.
Okay. I'm screwing this up. Hold on.
You haven't clicked on it yet, from what I can see.
No, I know. I'm trying to figure it out.
But did you find where the Great Axe of Intimidation is on your character sheet?
Looking for it, right?
Okay. So over on the far right-hand side, you have a bunch of little tabs that are sticking out from the edge of your character sheet.
Okay.
The top one is a little gear. The one directly below that says Inventory when you mouse over it. Click on that one.
Okay. Sorry, I'm really terrible at this.
It's okay. Did you find the little tabs on the right?
I did.
Okay. And you clicked on the second one from the top.
Second one.
Top one's gear, next one's the inventory.
Okay. I think my brain forgot about these.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, yeah. I have a rage thing I can do.
Well, you're in features.
I'm in features. Okay.
Yes. So what you want is, if you're looking at those tabs that are sticking out from your character sheet over on the side, the top one's a gear. The one directly below that is the one you click on. That takes you to your inventory.
Oh, there it is, I guess, right? Yeah, so I guess I can use the great axe and do a lot of damage?
Yeah, click on the great axe, and then click normal.
Okay, clicking on the great axe, doing normal. That didn't work. I did something wrong. I don't know what I did.
That is weird. I don't know how it's doing that, yeah, but it says you rolled... Oh, you rolled a nat 1.
Oh, I did. Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
Should I try again? Or?
That's why it's red, because you rolled a nat 1.
Okay.
So let me look at your character sheet real quick.
Sure.
Oh, you don't have this. It has been that long since you played mech. Okay, so we're not doing inspiration the way we used to. We're doing a thing called luck points. I'm not going to go into all of the details for it here. But effectively, when you don't make a roll, you get luck points. Okay. There's other ways to get luck points besides that. But that is one of the big ways. If you have enough luck points, you also can spend them to do rerolls.
Okay.
So with that nat 1, you are gaining a luck point that you can spend later when you have a couple more of them to do a reroll if you don't like a roll you've made. So here's what I want you to do. Click the attack button again, because as a barbarian, you get more than one attack.
Okay. So the attack button, yes?
Yes.
Right? Normal?
Yes.
Okay. I have one again. This is
weird. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The same roll.
Yeah, the same roll. I don't know what happened, but there it is.
Well, you now have 2 luck points.
Okay. Sure.
You expected them to dodge, so you obviously swung where you thought they'd be, and they didn't dodge.
Right. Yeah.
Apparently so.
Okay. This is weird.
Well, you now have 2 luck points, at least. So you've got that going for you.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
At the end of your turn, the ones that you ran into gather round.
Okay.
Because they want to say hello to you. And I'm going to roll an attack.
Okay.
That's a 32 to hit. That is going to hit you.
Yeah, it is.
And they would do 25 points of damage, but you're raging, so that you're going to get half that.
Yeah, okay.
You take 12 points of damage from a literal swarm of skeletal beings made of sludgy nanites trying to scrape at you. All things considered, you're doing quite well.
Okay, good to know.
Yes.
So can I use the great axe on some of them? Or
You just attempted it twice.
Oh, I did. Okay.
Yeah, cool. They're doing this at the end of your turn.
Oh, all right. I get it.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So we are now at initiative 20. Now I'm going to have some other things happen. Okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. First of all, we are going to have more of these things pop out from inside the various structures here. And yes, you could already see them already because I didn't bother to put any walls on these things, but still.
That's fine.
There's more appearing. It's fine. It's like it's a party. They were told it was open mic night. They're here to perform some. You're not quite sure what the act is, but they're on fire, so you're assuming it's some kind of metal. And I am going to ask everyone to make a wisdom saving throw.
Everyone.
You should see it in the chat. You should be able to just click on where it says DC 21 wisdom saving throw. Hobby has failed. Mech has failed. Oh, wait. Mech, you're immune. You're raging.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. As a raging barbarian, you can't be afraid. You're too angry to be afraid. Cavill made it. Tex made it.
Oops.
Hobby is
That's
using the reliable
check. I'm trying to delete that. I was looking at things and I am far too used to the other one where you click on it and it pops open the little... I'm fighting with Foundry. I'm clicking something instead of just mousing over it to read what the thing does.
Okay. Actually, Tex did not make it. Tex got an 18. Tex needed a 21.
Were they within 5 feet of me, and does it count as a spell?
You and Tex are right next to each other. And yes, this counts as a spell.
When a creature within 5 feet of me casts a spell, I can use my reaction to make a melee weapon attack against that creature. Although I may have already spent a reaction when I did the reroll. That was said it would be right.
The remaining skeletal things are on the other side of Tex from you, because the ones that were right next to you, the ones that are right next to you are now a cloud of rapidly dissipating gas. Indomitable. Beginning at 9th level, you can reroll a saving throw that you fail. That reroll is a 29.
Wow.
Almost a crit. So, Tex is fine. So, Tex is fine. Cavil's fine. Mech is fine because Mech is super angry.
Yep.
Hobby, however, got a nat 1.
He's not. Hobby is not happy.
Give yourself a luck point, Hobby.
Oh, yes, that's useful.
Yes.
Those are in my inventory.
How many luck points do you have now?
I now have 3. That was my third.
So, you are currently frightened. On your turn, you are still frightened, you will have to take the dash action and move away by the safest route possible.
I have an idea. I have some ideas.
I have a better idea. Okay. I believe it's my turn.
As you see all of Hobby's fur go poof and her tail go poof.
It is currently Cavil's turn, because that ended the, not technically lair actions, but the not attacking actions of the nanite slag swarm. Yes.
Cavil flies over, dips down, and claps both Tex and Hobby on the shoulder. And Cavil casts heroism at 3rd level, targeting themselves, Hobby, and Tex.
You are now very brave.
Oh, good.
We also all get 5 temporary hit points. Not that part matters all that much. But the important part is we are all 3 of us now immune to being frightened.
That's useful.
All right. You see, this is why you run a high-level campaign. Because people can do things like that.
Mm-hmm. Heroism is a 1st-level spell.
This is why you run a low-level campaign. Level,
but...
Okay. All right, already. Okay. So is there anything else you do?
Hold on. I'm trying to figure out which of the things I have here is a bonus action. I give Tex my bardic inspiration.
All right. At the end of your turn, more of these things rush over. Sorry?
Because I am not casting the spell I thought I was going to cast, I am going to fly another 10 feet into the air. I think this place had a pretty high ceiling.
It does, especially near the Tabaxi tree. That thing is a fortress in and of itself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you fly up, you see several Tabaxi that are doing a combination of, some of them are cowering, some of them are look like they're getting ready to pounce. Some of them are casting spells from the top. There's a few who seem to be taking a nap. They can't be bothered. This is someone else's problem.
Can I do one more thing?
What would you like to do?
Hand one of the wands of magic missiles to a Tabaxi who doesn't look like they can do anything from up there.
Give me a dexterity check.
Ah.
You're doing this while flying through the air and attempting to do it in a way where they are able to easily snag it.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, good thing I'm a bard. That means I get an extra.
With a 16, you very easily toss it to them. They grab it after it does the traditional bounce out of their hands twice before they actually get a grip on it. But then the moment of panic goes away from their face to be replaced by a "I meant to do that" expression.
And I will set that one's uses to 0
to balance things out.
I don't have it right now.
Oh, yeah. They are definitely going to use as many of these charges as they can. All right. Wonderful. At the end of your turn, a whole bunch more of these things start running over. But you flew up. You're 15 feet in the air right now. These things are not 15 feet tall.
They'll have to start jumping on each other's shoulders.
They're not coordinated enough to do that well. But they are going to make an attack at Tex, because Tex is right there. That is a 22. Does a 22 hit?
No.
Now, earlier in the campaign, I would have asked that facetiously. But for Tex, if I don't have Tex's character sheet open, I honestly am not sure.
25.
So I actually, there we go. A 30 if you activate the ring, but you don't need to right now.
Yes.
Okay. You hear the sound of a door slamming open. It's coming from the far side of the common area. But you are fairly certain that you hear Cogbucket Sr. say a word. You're not sure what...
A word.
Yes.
A word.
A word. You don't know what the word is. It fills you with an uplifting sensation. You feel it in your heart or equivalent, for those of you who are Warforged. It doesn't do anything mechanically, game-wise, to you. But this is a word that is meant to be comforting and caring towards allies and spell the doom for things who are not. I am looking. Okay, Cogbucket Sr. casts Divine Word. And at the speed of sound, a whole swath of these things that you can just barely make out the area that's affected by this from where you are, they just go poof as if Cogbucket Sr. was Thanos and he snapped his fingers. As soon as that happens, you realize there's music playing. Someone is playing a violin? No, the difference between a violin and a fiddle is the song you're playing. That is a fiddle. You hear a fiddle. Are they playing The Devil Went Down to Georgia?
Probably.
They are.
Hi, Mo.
Each of you has a D12 inspiration die.
Ooh, nice.
Each of you. From very high up, you hear a deep, booming voice that makes the building shake a bit more. Yell, sneak attack! And a pillar of flame shoots down from through the ceiling over one of these giant nanite icicles.
That's some sneak attack.
Technically, you can't do sneak attack damage with a breath weapon. However,
if you've been
Monty
doing
refuses
this for long
to accept
enough.
Your reality.
And it substitutes his ancient red dragon, Wolverine.
Monty rejects your reality and substitutes his breath weapon.
Hey, that's fair. That's really
yes.
kind of fair.
Good.
We're going to just shrink this one down a little bit. It's a bit smaller now. There we go. A comes running down the stairs. It's now A's turn. Hey, I checked all the rooms and it looks like people are, banding together. There's some clerics up there doing stuff. And what the heck happened here?
A lot. A lot is happening here.
Mean Danite globs that don't have enough brains to not be mean.
Don't have enough
don't
brains?
Don't get hit. They burn.
Oh, that's not good. Sad thing is, where A is in the initiative order, A does not get Mo's inspiration die.
Oh, no.
Poor A.
Poor little A. I am looking at A's abilities. Hold on. I think I have a thing I can do. A puts their fingers to their temples and closes their eyes. And you're pretty sure says think a few times in the same voice as Winnie the Pooh. But possibly not, because that part of Winnie the Pooh is still under copyright. So plausible deniability. Yeah, there's nothing there. That's A's action.
That's right. A has the telepathy thing.
Yeah. Traditionally, A has only used it to sing songs to people. Mostly Cavil. Mostly songs like I Know a Song That Gets on Everybody's Nerves.
That's because a certain paladin who hides in bathrooms taught A to do it.
Yep.
I learned it from watching you. Not you. You know what I mean.
We do.
All right. And one of these things takes a swing at A.
That doesn't end.
It does, because there's a certain duration. I got 4 hours to do it. I rolled a 17 for them to hit A. A's AC is 17. A activates the ring. They miss.
Poor A. But yay for a ring.
All right. You also hear the sound
of
combat.
Want it known. That was a 2 on the die.
Yes.
It was.
Yes, they have a plus 15 to hit. It's.
Ew.
If it was just one of them, it wouldn't be as strong a thing, but they're swarming. So it's harder for you to get out their way. Yes, Ellie has found the exact gif that I was trying to replicate with A's reaction.
Yep.
The fire is cannon. Monty's upstairs. The fire is cannon.
Pizza's into the burning room.
All right. Now, there's fighting happening all over here. I'm primarily focusing on what the party is doing, with a few exceptions to highlight specific NPCs that you may know and love. For example, I need to change. I'm not going to mess with that right now, but I need to change that other thing too. Understood. To the north of you, just on the other side of the Quest Habar Grill, the submarine optimals are back to back, with one kobold barely being able to see around their backs because there's three of them that are back to back and they sort of have Mox wedged in there. And Mox is casting a spell. You can't tell what the spell is from here, but Mox is casting a spell. Right. End of the turn. And we've been playing for about an hour. What do you say we take a short break?
Okay.
And we're back.
Don't have any AoEs.
Well, that's okay, because of this particular encounter, your single attacks are being counted as AoEs. You killed three things with one attack last turn.
True.
Speaking of which, it is now your turn.
This is, in fact, true. Whoops, that's not what I want to do. Oh.
You put away your powerful sword instead try to smack
it
with an open palm.
It's not that powerful, actually.
It's more powerful than a claw attack, I'll tell you that.
Well, I wouldn't be using my claw attack if I were doing anything along that nature. Because
why is Nanite Slag Swarm now Ancient Black Dragon?
That's an excellent question, and I don't know why. Full disclosure, I did start making the Nanite Swarm with an Ancient Black Dragon stats, but then I changed it heavily. Which you can tell because of 15 hits.
Settle. Thank you. I mean, if I were going to do claw attacks, I'd be doing that. Unfortunately, we have just way too much stuff right now, so I'm not going to bother doing that. But I do have a claw tattoo so that my claws can, in fact, be magic attacks. Because it's very annoying. Well, since I don't have an AoE to get rid of enough of these, I guess I'm just going to have to stab them. Was that mine? No, that's GM.
No, right. I rolled D6 because I realized I forgot to roll for a glitch when A activated the ring. Six is not activated.
Glitch on six?
It's on a 1.
Okay.
I think.
Just scrolly. There it is. There's my Shadow Blade. Can I use my inspiration die on that?
You rolled a 9. A 10 will not hit. Do you have 3 luck points? You have a residual inspiration die?
The bardic inspiration.
Oh yeah.
Die.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The one that Mo gave everyone. Yes, you can definitely roll a d12 and see if that takes you over 15.
There's the d12.
That's
no,
a 1.
No, I can't. Can I re-roll that?
Oh, no.
I have 3 luck points.
I would spend the 3 luck points to re-roll the Shadowblade attack, because that's going to be more likely to go over. But yes, you can spend the 3 luck points.
Okay. I will spend the 3 luck points, and I will re-roll that Criffing attack, because that's just embarrassing.
A 23 is going to wing it, yes. Go ahead and roll your damage, and don't forget sneak attack.
Just a moment, let me get rid of that.
And Ellie, we keep talking over you.
I just said a 23 is better.
Just a tad.
A little bit.
A little bit. there's a sneak attack. Let me roll a Shadow Blade one as well, just to add a little bit, just to add some insult to my injury here. Oh, 12 isn't bad.
12 isn't bad at all.
22 plus 12. 34.
I'm letting Foundry math that for me. Okay. At the end of your turn. Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you do?
Yes. I want to try to jump for the lowest limb of the tabaxi tree so that I have the high ground. If I've gotten rid of how many, if there aren't any others here that are...
There's a lot around you. There will be an attack of opportunity for this.
Oh, will there? Will there actually be...
Unless you had some way of disengaging, but you need a bonus action for that.
I don't think I've spent a bonus action yet, so...
I'm being overly sarcastic. Yes, do the thing.
Yes, where am I?
Yes,
I want to click the disengage so that it's there, but I can't find it because I can't find anything.
On paper, you would just say it. It's fine. Yes, you are climbing the tabaxi tree. I'm going to require a roll because it was designed for tabaxi to climb.
Mm-hmm. I just want to get to, like, let's see, how many things can I move?
Well, it's roughly 15 feet to the tabaxi tree base from where you are. So you could climb 15 feet up it. You're not going to get down one of the arms. Okay.
I'll be on this arm here.
You are now able to be eye level with Cavill.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm a sibling. I have to be at least eye level with my sibling here. Otherwise, it's a dominance thing.
Right. At the end of your turn, several of these things try to follow you up the tree, but they're not as good at climbing tabaxi trees as a tabaxi is. You are in your native habitat.
Tabaxi tree.
Yes.
If you
were a bear, it would be a Studebaker. Which I think is the same joke that Ellie was referencing.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. And I am going to say that because they can't reach you, there's just not going to be attack this turn. That's fine. There will be an attack during Tex's turn, though. And it's going to come from Tex, probably.
It is. Oh, it is Tex's turn.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you are running towards one of the giant icicle things that is going to invoke an attack of opportunity.
Yes. Let them come.
There's every chance that they will wind up regretting it.
Well, they don't have enough cognitive ability to regret. They attempt to make an attack. That's an 18 with the bonuses, which means that I rolled a 3 on the die. I'm not sure Tex notices the attempt. Tex, you are at the base of a giant pillar, which is doing more to harm the structural integrity of the ceiling than it is to hold it up.
Before I take my action, I'm going to take a bonus action.
Thunderous Smite.
Nice. Huh.
Okay. It jumped up because now Tex is rolling Chainbreaker.
Sorry.
It's okay.
You were reading it.
Yeah. The first time, it's been a while since someone used Thunderous Smite in a game, so I'm reminding myself what it does. The first time you hit with a melee weapon attack during this spell's duration, your weapon rings with thunder that is audible within 300 feet of you. Now all of the nanite swarm will know you are here.
Good.
And the attack deals an extra 2d6 thunder damage to the target. Additionally, if the target is a creature, it must succeed on a strength saving throw or be pushed 10 feet away. I'm not going to have this pillar be pushed 10 feet away, in case you were wondering.
I was assuming it was not a creature.
Technically, they're all part of the same mass, but I am not having you push something this large 10 feet away. That'd be hilarious, but no. Also, I'm not having you knock it prone. It would land on Cogbucket Sr. Okay, roll your Chainbreaker. A 27 is going to hit. Now, were you going to connect with this thing regardless? Yes. But there was a chance you would not hit it in a way that would do damage. A 27 is going to hit it in a way where you're doing damage. You would have had to roll a 4 to miss.
Fortunately, I didn't.
Fortunately, you did not. Okay. That's 7 points of Thunderous Smite damage and 8 points of Chainbreaker damage.
8 points of hammer damage.
And for your next trick, you roll a crit.
Nice.
Crits, in fact, it's just one of them is a crit fail.
This is true. Yes. But don't forget, when you fail a roll, you get to add a luck point. So don't forget to do that.
Yes.
the luck points go to?
I create an item on your character sheet called luck points. It's actually in your inventory. And I just add more of them or take them away on these particular character sheets. It's a bit of a hack. Luck point rules don't exist for Dungeons & Dragons. They exist for Tales of the Valiant. But I like them better than inspiration for rewarding players. It also allows, if you're making some not good rolls, it helps you fail forward. That is 19 points of Chainbreaker damage. And also, Crusher critical. When you score a critical hit that deals bludgeoning damage on a creature, attack rolls against that creature are made with advantage until the start of your next turn. Here's what happens. You run forward. The nanite slag swarm is like trying to scratch at you. You just pull away like they're not even there. You run up to this thing and swing Chainbreaker, your giant warhammer, at it. Like the warhammer was an axe and your name was Paulina Bunyan. Paula Bunyan. Whatever. When the axe, not the axe, the hammer hits, there is a shockwave that spreads out through this thing and resonates all the way up past the ceiling, down through the floor. And that seems to affect some of the nanite skeletal things that are around you as well. The shockwave hits them too, and they kind of stagger a bit. But also, once they have staggered a bit, they start turning towards you. Mech, would you like to make an attack of opportunity? Some of the ones that you ran over to are running away from you towards a different enemy, which is over there.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. So just what we talked about before, go to your Battle Axe of Intimidation and click on that again. Okay. And that is a dirty 20. So go ahead and click the damage button.
The damage button.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you go to the chat, it's the second most recent thing in chat.
Okay. Okay.
The Foundry chat.
The Foundry chat, yeah.
Yeah, not Discord chat.
No, that's not what I'm looking at exactly. Okay. So, next of intimidation. Do I just hit attack and try again?
You already pressed attack. Now you're hitting damage. Okay. It's right below
damage.
Attack.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And this is for an attack of opportunity, so you're only getting one of these.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Is it normal? Is that the one
yes.
I do? Okay.
Okay. So of the three of them that turn and run away from you towards Tex, you slice two of them in half.
Awesome.
A third one gets to Tex.
Oh, no.
Okay.
And that's a 29 to hit. Which I think actually hits you unless you use the ring. Nope, you use the ring. All right, it doesn't hit you, but roll a d6. That's a 6. You do not get a glitch.
Yep.
Okay. The DM is not disappointed. The DM is not disappointed. I don't know what any of you say the DM is disappointed. He is insisting.
The player wants to get a glitch.
Especially considering how many of these are in play. What would happen? This would be hilarious. Would the pillar be the thing that you glitch towards or away from?
One
of these giant pillars is teleported across the field.
Nope.
You see it tearing up the ground and ceiling as it moves. All right.
Oh, no.
Okay, now that was all at the end of Tex's turn. Now, guess what, Mech? It is now your turn. You know that attack you just did? You get to do two more of those.
Two more of those, okay.
Yes, two more attacks.
Two more attacks, okay. Here's one.
That's a nat one.
Yeah, it didn't work. I don't know why it's doing that. I really don't know why it's doing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you get a second attack. So go ahead and roll again.
Okay.
Just hit the attack button again.
Oh.
Same one you did
the
before.
Attack button again. Same one I did before. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me find that. There it is. Attack, normal.
A 16 is going to hit. So scroll back up to that same thing before and click the damage button.
Okay. Damage.
13 points of damage. All right.
Okay.
I am not going to apply those to Mech. That's not how it works.
No. Okay.
Okay. And that's going to take out two more of these things. They go poof as you slice them. Also, because of that nat one you rolled, you now have 3 luck points. Right now, that doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
But the next time you roll and don't succeed at the roll, you can spend those luck points to roll again.
Okay.
Okay. Closing my chat window is not going to show me who's next.
Generally not.
No. At the end of your turn, don't worry that some of your new friends went away because more are coming over to replace them.
Okay.
Yes. And more they're targets. Going. They are going to make a swing at you. And that is a 21 to hit. Your AC is 18. So you have two options. If you choose to, you can just take the hit and you'll take half damage because you're raging. If you use that magic ring that you were given recently. Actually, I'm not sure you were here for that part.
I don't think I was. Yeah.
Yeah. You've been given a magic ring that basically, with some other things, lets you cast shield three times a day.
Okay.
If you use that ring, two things will happen. One, your AC will go up for the until the end of this turn. It'll go up to a point where it's too high for that 21 to hit you.
Okay.
But also, you'll have to roll a d6. And on a 1, something interesting happens. I'm using the DM definition of interesting, not the good definition of interesting. They're prototypes. They can glitch. So if you want to have a 1 in 6 chance of something weird happening, but not taking any hits, we can do that. If you'd rather just take the half damage, we can do that. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of hit points. You could do it either way.
I could, yeah. I think she would probably want to do an attack.
Well, she can't attack right now. This is her deciding if she's going to take the hit or have something weird happen.
Yeah, all right.
Potentially.
Yeah.
So the last thing I did was an 11 that didn't work.
No. We're not worried about that right now. You're either going to take damage from this attack that's hitting you.
Okay.
Or you're going to effectively boost your armor up so that they don't hit you, but something weird might happen because of that.
Okay. Yeah.
Which do you want?
Boost up the armor, I guess. Yeah, boost up the armor.
Okay. Roll a d6.
D6. Yeah, there we go.
That's your glitch die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And roll.
All right. All these sixes. Six. There's no glitches at all. I am not disappointed. Rumors of my disappointment are 100% unfounded, and I don't know why more than one entity capable of reading minds is standing in that room with me. All right. It is the Nanite Slag Swarm's turn. More of these things are appearing.
Sure.
You are not appearing outside. You are still inside the building. It's not how that works.
That's what we'll do. We'll just tow these outside the environment.
The whole thing reminds me of when World of Warcraft had like a plague going through.
This is something like a plague, yes.
Yes.
All right. It is now Cavil's turn.
Well, it would be a shame if the backing vocals clashed, wouldn't it?
Cavil flies through the air with the greatest of ease.
And I am going to dip it down. Hopefully 5 feet should do it. And
that's why that circle appeared on the map. You were measuring an AoE.
Cavil has been known to do such things.
Destructive wave. You strike the ground, and now that has disappeared from my screen, so I gotta look this up. Okay, here we go. You strike the ground, creating a burst of divine energy that ripples outward from you. Each creature you choose within 30 feet of you must succeed on a constitution saving throw or take 5d6 thunder damage, as well as 5d6 radiant or necrotic damage, your choice, and be knocked prone. I am so glad that you technically don't have one of these pillars in the AoE. We're not knocking it prone. I'm going to say right here, the pillars are immune to the prone effect. Unless one of you is wielding a magical chainsaw. I am not giving you a magical chainsaw. Do not ask. Maybe in Cypher System. A creature that succeeds on a saving throw takes half as much damage and isn't knocked prone. Okay, well, let's roll our Constitution saving throw.
Oh, that was not a good roll.
That was a 2.
A nat 1.
Oh, just a failure. If
they burn a legendary resist.
Well, they still have to take half damage.
They still take half damage. Roll your damage.
Oh my.
But now, for the listeners at home, Cavill said 10d6.
Glitching in and out of the screen. I did not roll any d20s. I don't know why a d20 was there. Also, now Foundry isn't working.
It doesn't say you rolled a d20. It says you rolled 10d6, but also you rolled 10d6 after you said 10d6, and that's what I was laughing at.
Yeah, and Foundry broke when I rolled 10d6.
Oh no.
It was too much damage. you rolled too much damage.
And I'm hoping that might take out at least some of these to make it easier for the party to get towards the pillar.
Foundry, let me math this. There we go. So we're going to have this be 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Poof.
You know what? I'm curious.
I don't see poof.
I got rid of a bunch.
Yeah, Foundry broke. I'm reloading.
Okay. What are you curious about?
I wanted to know what I would roll if I rolled the Constitution saving throw.
Ah. You rolled a 23.
Low. I only got a 23.
That was an 8 on the die and you have a 23 because you're level 15.
It's true. I have a plus 15 Constitution save.
You're level 15 fighter paladin. You are the immovable object. And also in some cases the unstoppable force.
Sometimes both.
At the moment, I am the immovable object.
All right.
So is Mech.
Yep.
No, Mech is moving a lot.
Yep.
Except the part about the having to stay there because of the shield, slightly rooted.
Well, yes, but that's primarily for not during your turn. It wears off when it's Mech's turn again.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm just saying, at the moment, because I used the shield, I am an immovable object.
This is also true. Yes. All right. Now, Eo, I know that you're reloading Foundry. Was there anything else you wanted Cavill to do?
I have given inspiration to Tex. So now, since I think you said that the inspiration dice in this case don't counteract. Oh, and Hobby used hers already. I would also like to give one to Hobby. Of them. Yeah, you used the one that Mo
from
gave
Mo.
You.
Yeah.
So I'm giving you one of mine.
You had inspiration. Here's second inspiration. Next up will be 11sies.
I like 11sies. I'm a cat. I like extra. Give me extra.
The bowl of inspiration, you can see the bottom of it. Ignore all the inspiration that's pushed over to the side of the bowl.
It's empty.
Yes. You are starving for inspiration.
You had better not push my inspiration to the side of the bowl.
This is where Hobby would have all of her luck points if she had any.
Yeah. I'm kind of out of them at the moment.
Poor Boo, when he got home from the hospital last week, was like lying down next to his bowl, eating his dry food, and started crying that there was no more dry food. And I looked and there was plenty of dry food. And what happened was he couldn't figure out how to get his snout into the corners of the bowl to get at the dry food that was left. And so I put more in there and he was very happy. Yes, talking about you. Because he was sedated and coming off the sedation. And so he was still having trouble figuring out how things worked.
I mean, that's fair. That's really fair.
Yeah.
Ooh, Guardian of Faith.
Yes. And it was supposed to give me a template, but it did not.
Isk.
So I'm going to just put one there if I can. I'm just going to say right here is a Guardian of Faith. They appear to be an older gentleman wearing glasses and swinging a typewriter.
Mood.
But as they swing the typewriter, they are taking out several more of these things, all disappearing in poofs of blue smoke.
Foundry wants to let me back in.
It takes forever.
Have you tried asking it nicely?
Have you tried threatening it?
Those don't usually go together. Well, no, I am a bard. I'm sure I can ask someone nicely in a threatening manner.
Correctly.
Pretty please, that's my Foundry, warlock. Would you let me in?
Speaking of Mo, what does Mo do now? Mo, no, Mo is not going to do that. That would be hilarious. That'd be very funny, but no, Mo is not going to do that.
Do we get to know what Mo's not doing?
I saw that Mo still has a spell prepared called Summon Greater Demon.
Perhaps not yet.
I mean, that would be super funny to see Mo do that. But no, Mo continues to play Devil Went Down to Georgia. He's up to the solo portion, which is funny because the entire thing is being done just by Mo.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean.
Over at the bar, Mo says, I have a phone call for Hug and Kiss. First name Amanda. I'm looking for Amanda Hug and Kiss.
No.
I know that jerk.
That's a different Mo. That is a different Mo. For the last time, my last name is not Sizzlak. Technically, I don't have a last name. But y'all don't spend your inspiration dice except for hobby, so.
I spent mine.
I said except for hobby. Good news. Right. A now has an inspiration die from Mo. Hobby, you have yours back. You now have two inspiration die.
I have two of them. Yes.
Yes. They're not supposed to stack. For some reason, they are. The reason that was given doesn't make sense. But they are stacking. It is Monty's turn. Monty does not recharge his breath weapon.
Oh.
But he does get a glitch.
No, Monty doesn't have one of those fancy rings. Instead.
Hello?
You?
Yes.
Okay, good. We hear you.
You all went silent for a little bit.
Oh, whoops.
Okay.
Had somebody message me something. So.
Okay. Well, on the far side, actually, I don't think any of you has line of sight to this. No, none of you has line of sight to this. So you do not see the flames die down from the breath weapon from last turn so that there's a gap between the top of this pillar and the caved-in ceiling that it came through as a small kobold holding a hat onto their head with one hand and wielding a dagger with the other falls directly onto the melted top of the pillar, once again yelling, sneak attack! And stabbing into the pillar.
That sounds like Monty.
Some of the globules that have been forming on these pillars and running off to attack members of Flag Headquarters actually start flowing upwards towards this kobold.
More fool they, but I'm not going to warn them.
Monty has been practicing his evil laugh for many centuries. You have to really use the diaphragm to do it well. You wouldn't think that a kobold would have that much of a diaphragm.
No, I believe it. I've heard the small cats around here make extremely loud noises. It's like, how? How are you doing that? You are small. Why do you sound like you're in an organ or something? Hobby believes.
That is two hits from A.
Yay.
And we got to roll sneak attack as well. And we're going to click apply. And I've got to math this because it didn't do this properly.
Isk.
There we go. That is A's turn.
Yay, A.
A took out this one and this one and this one. And at the end of A's turn, there's none that are close enough to really swarm over to A.
Oh, good.
I'm in a target-poor environment. I'm kind of okay with this. I'm going to say I'm okay with this.
I'm okay with it, too.
And up to the north, there is a roar as Kurg runs slashing things left and right and center towards the open space that you have created in the southern end here as the submarine optimals are rushing through. Being pursued by bear, and by bear I mean a whole bunch of these things.
Mm-hmm.
With Mox taking up the rear. Not running. Mox is turned and facing them, shield raised, with a short sword in hand. And now we're at the top of initiative again. Hobby.
Hobby is going to very quickly check. Let's see, what does that do? Center so that I can scroll it. So it does an extra 1d6 on that. That would be a plus 2. On the other hand, it would be a vehicle for a sneak attack. Okay, how far does that reach? With Hobby's free hand, she is going, in fact, to activate her Eldritch Claw tattoo, the Eldritch Maul, as a bonus action.
Okay.
For the duration, each of my melee attacks with a weapon or an unarmed strike can reach a target up to 15 feet away as inky tendrils launch towards the target. Oh, I can use it with a... In addition, your melee attacks deal an extra 1d6 force damage on a hit. I need the measuring tool. Measure tool. There's my measure tool. Okay.
Uh-oh.
That's a lot. That will not work. Well, I'm going to activate it anyway so that I can have it because this whole thing. All right. So they're about 50 away, huh? Okay, that was my bonus action. Open. Okay, I will open it. There, that's better. Next question is, what's my... 60 feet. Okay, it looks like at 60 feet, I can only do the Ray of Frost to attack the one over here that says that I have it to 57 to at least wing it.
I'll allow that. Now, on the map, it looks like you're shooting through the Quest Hub Bar and Grill, but that's two ovals. The one on the inside goes up quite high, but the one on the outside is the bar, and these things are taller than the bar.
Right, because I'm so up on top of the...
Especially if you're up on top of it, yes.
Yeah.
On top of the Tabaxi Tower. So yes, you can see that one from where you are. Now, if you use Pythagorean theorem to figure out a squared plus b squared equals c squared, that might actually be over 60 feet, but I refuse to math that tonight.
Well, if necessary, I'll just have to jump to one of the other
just
ones.
Just roll your attack, please. That's an 8. Well, you can re-roll that, or you have two different inspiration die right now. I think a d10 and a d12.
I need to get a 15.
She used the d12.
Came back.
Mo gave it back.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to use the d12 because I need to get a 15, right?
Okay. Well, you can use both of them. If the d12 doesn't give you high enough, then you can also use cavils. 8 plus 8 is 16. Eight. You don't need to roll cavils.
Let's do
roll your damage.
13.
Okay.
And whatever it is going to have its speed reduced by 10 feet until the start of my next turn, for whatever good that is.
So you know the thing in Terminator 2 where they freeze the T-1000 or T-2000, whatever it is, and it shatters? You do that. Its movement is reduced to 0 because you obliterate them.
Well, that's even better.
Yes.
Hopefully it will take a little bit of the...
You're taking a little bit of the heat off of the submarine optimals.
Yep.
Okay.
After all, Mech and Tex can handle it. Mm-hmm. You two are fine.
Okay.
And that's all mine. Actually, I am going to climb up a little bit. Oh, I'm in measurement. No wonder I can't operate anything. Now I'm... I want to be... Right, I click that thing. Duh. Target. I'm going to ooch up to a better spot here.
Okay. So you are with the rest of the Tabaxi inside the headquarters on the cat tree, Tabaxi tree, doing what you do best, annoying all who oppose you.
Definitely not hissing at them.
Several Tabaxi who are hissing.
This whole Tabaxi tree is probably sounding like a convention of snakes right now because we don't like this. We are hissing at everything.
Tex, does a 32 hit you?
Yes.
Okay.
Tragically, nothing I can do about that.
That is 30 points of damage.
Okay. Just a second. Okay. I will take that 15 points of damage.
Tex rages.
Oh, wait.
Tex has
the ring activated.
Up.
I know. Yes. But it's funny to say Tex rages take half damage, even if it's not technically accurate.
I will take that 10 points of damage.
pray she does not reduce it further. Oh, that's right, heroism.
Yep.
That's the first damage you took tonight, I think.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, Tex, is there anything you would like to do right now that it is your turn?
Yes. Yes, there is. No, not drag.
That's a 21 to hit and a 12 to not hit. Although you do have an inspiration. I'm going
to spend my luck points to reroll that.
Well, you could. Or we could just say you add three to it because 15 is what you need. And then there's zero chance that it would be a miss. You also have an inspiration die from Mo.
I do. And I'm going to use that rather than my luck point.
A 22 is going to hit. So that's two hits. Now it's time for 11sies.
It is, isn't it? Monty, go.
I thought you'd never ask. Technically, that wasn't an ask, but that's besides the point, and we're all sort of glossing over this.
See,
a 28 is going to hit. Monty hits the pillar that Monty is on top of a lot. I mean, it's 13 points of damage. Monty's still hitting it with a dagger. And it's not Monty's turn, so Monty doesn't get sneak attack. Monty was using sneak attack during Monty's turn. However, the pillar looks shorter. Actually, come to think of it, all of these pillars look way smaller than they were before. You can see daylight through the ceiling as they are noticeably shrinking, which you might notice on the map, they are noticeably smaller.
I have noticed that.
Yes. Now, I should also probably apply damage because Chainbreaker did damage. Was that 21 all three of your attacks? Well, both of your attacks, rather?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything else you're doing?
Mech, I have this side. Get the optimals clear.
All right. I'll move over there.
Okay.
To help you.
So you're doing that, and you can definitely do that, but they are going to take a swing at you. Not the submarine optimals, but instead the nanite swarm that you're being away from. That's a 19 to hit. That is going to hit you. Don't recommend using the ring for this because you cannot move when you use the ring. So you wouldn't be able to run over to the submarine optimals. So
Did
you're going
go
to have
back
to take
to where I was. Or...
No.
Okay.
No, I don't recommend doing that. If you're running over to help them and you use the ring to avoid getting hit, then you won't be able to go over to help them because as soon as you use the ring, you can't move anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're barely going to notice 22 damage. 11 damage.
Yeah, it's only 11 damage because you're raging.
Right.
Yes. Okay. I have some bad news for you. You're down to 217 hit points.
Oh no.
Yes.
Oh no.
You might need to take a 6-second break to just, you know, limber up, swing your axe a little bit.
Right.
Get the kinks out. All right. So where you are right now, you do not have anything that you can hit with your axe, but I would suggest holding your action because that is going to change.
Okay.
All right. At the end of your turn, these things run over here. Now, the closest one to you is on the other side of Dirge, the rogue in the submarine optimals. So you can't swing your axe at this unless you decide to swing through Dirge. Dirge would not recommend that.
No, I'm not going to.
However, these are also going to run over this way, and these two are going to run over this way because Tex is so much closer. So there is some converging, and there does have to be one that's come. One of the ones that you were next to before follows you. Like more than one of them does, actually. So there is still a few here that you can hit. So go ahead and roll your attack. You do have a fan club. So go ahead and use your Great Axe of Intimidation again. Same way we've done it before.
Track where that went up.
You don't need to scroll up. You could also open your character sheet and find it there.
Oh, yeah.
Because scrolling up is going to take you a while now.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Here.
You need your
Great Axe, right?
Yes. Yeah. So when you find your Great Axe of Intimidation, you should be able to click on that. And you get a pop-up and you click normal.
Okay. So it's going to scream. Normal.
Click attack on the...
Go to the chat.
Okay.
Go to the chat and there we go. A 23 is going to hit. So go and click the damage button.
Okay.
All right. 12 points of damage. you take out both of the ones who followed you. Poof.
Cool.
Now, you do get a second attack, but there's none that are within melee range of you. However, you have an anti-nanite javelin your inventory.
Yeah.
So you could go ahead and throw one of these what's the plural for javelin? Javelins?
Yeah.
Javelins.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
You could throw one of those.
I can throw one of those. Okay.
Yes. I'll put it in the chat. There we go.
There it is.
You should be able to click the attack button.
Okay. Clicking the attack button.
Okay. And 19 is going to hit. Click the damage button. Okay. So you throw that javelin. It goes through three of those things. They actually glow yellow and explode into clouds of yellow smoke as opposed to the blue smoke when this javelin goes through three of these skeletal things at the same time.
Awesome. Assuming that's the end of my turn?
That is the end of your turn, yes. That was your two attacks and your movement. Okay. More of these things are spawning.
They do that.
Actually, these two don't spawn there because they spawn, but immediately that giant glowing old guy with the typewriter smacks them and they immediately despawn.
At least they're moderately fragile.
Oh, these are incredibly fragile. What one might suppose that they only have 5 hit points each.
Gracious.
Cavil has found reloaded
Cavil
for you.
Cavil is in the void.
Cavil is still in the void. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think I can get back in.
So, can you tell me what Cavil would like to do in this particular scenario? Besides stop looking at the
void. No, I cannot.
Okay, because you need to see your character sheet to make a decision.
Because I need to see my character sheet, and I've been trying to figure out what I want to do, but plotting my turn before my turn doesn't work when I'm in the void, because...
This is true. Well, if I might make a suggestion, you have a spell called Ralithim's Psychic Lance.
I'm not using it on these things. They don't have minds.
Fair and valid. Although, I'll note that A did damage with A's Psychic Blades.
Yeah, but I thought that it only worked on things with minds.
Oh. Yeah, some of these things are like that. Okay.
I'm not certain if I'm right now, but I can't check. I think we should pause. I don't think I'm going to be able to get in until we restart the server.
I can tell you it doesn't say anything here about them needing to have any kind of intelligence. They have to make an intelligence saving throw, which they're going to be very good at. Okay, we can pause. All right, we're back. And Foundry has while the rest of us could keep playing, Foundry has decided it doesn't want to. So we're going to end it here. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, everyone, for playing. Tonight, I was joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, Io, and Jen, who would like to plug a thing.
Thing. Io's mom writes books at elizabethmccoy.com. And also, if you go to warehouse23.com and you look for Elizabeth McCoy, you might actually find some of my gaming material there, which I don't usually plug, but I figure I might as well tonight. And speaking of cool things, like books,
yes. My website is Book of Jen. I've put up a bunch of things on there, and I'm going to try to start making more Shattered Soulstone content as soon as I the energy to do so.
And speaking of websites, aaronbsmith.com is where I put all of the podcasts that we make. You can also help us out on Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. You can help us keep the lights on, along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shanshen, Walter, Liv Droman, and patron emeritus Cindy. Until next time, this is Crash saying, right, well, I'm really not happy with what Tex did, but I hope they understand the consternation they put me through with my act of taking out the garbage, so to speak. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.